Welcome to Truth Talk. This is your host, Larry Bryant, and the truth is out there. Yeah, we need to seek it. You know, seek and you shall find. The truth's there, willing to reveal itself to you. Sometimes we just don't want to acknowledge the truth, but it will make itself available to us and will make itself known to us if we're open to that truth. Today we want to take a look and talk about a few different things here. A lot of people look around in the world today and they say, well, what in the world's going on? And, we can see, especially, some of us, it's a little bit, we'll say season. Some of us has been around a little bit longer. We can see a lot of changes that have taken place in our country over our lifetime. Sometimes, if you're real young, then all you know, this is all you know. And so this is the norm. But if you were raised, several decades ago, this norm isn't quite the norm that we were raised in. And so sometimes we ask, what in the world is going on? And, it is all biblical. And, we can look at it two or three different ways. First of all, the world has always been corrupt, since the fall of man. But we can say, but look at what's all going on. Well, we can look back in history, and we can see, ebbs and flows of history when times have been very bad, corruption has been very bad. But if we're living right now, now is the president, and it seems a whole lot worse now to us than what it's was ever been before. And there's a little truth to that too. Part of that is there's more light. The light of the gospel. God's truth. God is, the light. Jesus is the light. And back in bygone days, back we're saying, before Christ, things were a little bit more murky. There wasn't maybe as much light being shown in the world. And so there can still be a lot of darkness, a lot of bad things going on, but you may not notice it because, you don't have that light that's revealing those things. When there's more light, more things are revealed in that light. And so part of that's going on too. But the Bible does talk about in the last days, and of course we're in the last days since Jesus. When Jesus came, then that started the last days. The New Testament, and it talks a lot about a lot of things going on, and a lot of us will say, well, man, it would have been easier just living in a different time. Man, if I just lived back in the early 1900s, or if I lived in the 1800s, or whenever. We have a tendency to romanticize different time periods and think that things are a little bit rosier than maybe what they were. One of the things that comes to mind to me, I think about the book of Esther, and we'll talk a little bit about Esther today and some things that's going on in her life and with God's people. The Jews, were God's folks, his chosen people. And today, if you're a Christian, you're God's spiritually chosen people, I believe. And just like the Jewish people have had, you know, a lot of people come against them, a lot of people trying to wipe them out. Well, what's happening in Christianity? Isn't there a lot of people coming against Christians and Christianity? Now, when I was young, Christian persecution would in America was, you know, sort of unthinkable to most of us. But in today's world, it's not unthinkable. We even see it happening before our eyes. But look, you know, if you are living in this time period, you know, God isn't confused. God had you born at the perfect time. You know, God's not the author of confusion. You know, I think it says that Satan is, right? And we see a lot of confusion in the world because the devil is hard at work. The question is, are we, the church, hard at work, you know, to counter this confusion? Well, wait a minute, I can't say something because, you know, it will hurt someone's feelings. Or, well, look, we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. You know, we want to be nice to anyone, saint or sinner. You know, we should be cordial. We should be respectful. But we also have to be truthful. We're not helping people by not speaking the truth. And it seems like there's a lot of people, you know, so-called, you know, Christians, and I won't doubt their Christianity, but you know, sometimes we got you know, stinking thinking. Sometimes we don't discern the scripture correctly. You know, there's a lot of us today. We want to change the scripture to make it easier for the times, you know, so that we don't, quote, alienate people. But look, the gospel is going to offend some people. You know, if the gospel is telling you, hey, you're doing something wrong, don't do that, and look, come to Christ and you'll make it all right. You know, old selfish humanity, you know, man that we are, we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it and how we want to do it. But that's not always good for us, is it? We need to learn to submit ourselves unto Christ. You know, he's the way, the truth, and the life. You know, he's the light of the world. And you know, we have to let him shine through us. You know, let people see Christ through us. Yeah, I think that, you know, a lot of people mischaracterize Jesus. Yes, Jesus loved everybody, but he went in and you know, turned over the money changers' tables, right, in the temple. You know, he said some pretty harsh things against the Pharisees and Sadducees. And we're supposed to emulate Christ. You know, we have to stand for the truth. And so I guess what I'm getting around about, there's a verse, and we'll talk about Esther here in a second, that there's one verse here over in chapter 4 of Esther, verse 14. Here, Esther's uncle is speaking to her, and he basically tells her, says, hey, Esther, you know, if you remain silent at this time, you know, relief and deliverance will rise up for the Jewish people. You know, you'll come up from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Hey, look, if you stay silent to all this stuff that's going on, you know, deliverance for God's people is going to happen whether you choose to participate in it or not. However, if you stay silent, you and your family, we're all going to perish. But he goes on and says, but who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now think about that. Maybe you were born, for such a time as this. God doesn't make mistakes. God knows what he's doing. And God will place you, just think about your life. If especially some of us that's a little older, we can see some things that God has done in our life and see how that at just the right time, he had the right person, come into our life, or maybe at just the right time he had us, make connections with someone, help someone out, at just that right time, at such a time as this. And so you're born at this time. You're born in this world as it is. And so you're born for such a time as this. So the question is, are you going to remain silent? Or are you going to get active? Mordecai here told Esther, that she needed to do something. And it was going to bring great danger to her if she did it. But he says, hey, if you don't do it, God will deliver his people one way or another. But maybe God puts you in the position that you're in so that you can bring, so that deliverance can come through you. You can be that person that deliverance can come through. Now think about that. Are you the person that someone is looking for? Someone needs deliverance from something. Maybe someone just needs a hand up. Maybe you're that person to give them a hand up. Maybe someone is down in spirit. We all get there sometimes. We're down in spirit. Seems like the world is crashing in on us. Maybe God has put you in association with someone to give them that word of encouragement at just that special moment that they need it. We all have those moments. Everything seems to be going wrong. Everything seems to be falling apart. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, someone says something. Someone does something. Sometimes we can see people that are going through something. We realize that someone's going through something. And we can, physically do something to help them. Someone's house burned down. We can physically do something. Or someone, someone's got a flat tire and you can help them change that flat tire. There might be an elderly person. It could be a pregnant lady there, and she's got a flat tire. Well, can you change that flat tire for her? Maybe you're there at that particular moment to help that person in that situation. God will do that. God will put you in position to help people. Are you going to act and help people, or are you just going to pass right on by? So sometimes we can see that physical need. But look, on another respect, we're all hurting. We all are dealing with things in life. And sometimes we're dealing with something, but nobody knows that we're dealing with anything. And so God might use you, you know, just to say something to someone, to encourage them, to befriend them, just to be a friend to them. Maybe, you know, you see them at church and every Sunday, and you know, you shake hands and you talk to them. You know, that might be a highlight in their life, you know, that week, you know, because maybe they're having a rough time at work. You know, everybody's coming down on them. Maybe, you know, a lot of their family and stuff is down on them. And so they're not saying anything, but you can be that light. You know, you can be that friend. You can be that hand up. You know, just a kind word, just a pat on the back. You never know. You never know what those things are taking place. So we'll take a brief break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate. You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax deductible. Join us as we change the world.
Welcome back to Truth Talk. And we're talking about Esther. We're getting ready to talk about Esther. We've relayed a lot of things in today, and of course, the big catchphrase that really catches my mind every time I think of Esther is, you may have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. For such a time as this. That's the key thing. Maybe you're here, because, for such a time as this. Esther, the story starts out here, and you've got the king, and here's the king of Persia and the Medes, and the kingdom stretches from India to Ethiopia. Large kingdom, very powerful kingdom, and so the king here has a big celebration. He's showing off all of his riches and the glory of the kingdom. And he has all these provinces are coming in and so on. And I think it was like a 180-day celebration, where he's showcasing the kingdom. And all these people are coming in, and, almost half a year. And, he's got it really decked out. Showing the wealth, the splendor of the kingdom and stuff. And they're drinking from golden vessels, and each of the cups is made a little bit differently. It's not just one standard cup. They're all a little bit different. He's letting people do according to their own customs of the provinces that they that they're from, and so on. And the king has a queen, and she has a feast for the women in the royal palace while the king's having this big feast and stuff. And the king is you could say he's a little bit full of himself, showing off the kingdom. And so he's the queen is a beautiful lady, and so he sends his servants over to the queen and commands her to come before the king wearing the royal crown, because he wants to showcase her beauty. Hey, look, look at all the splendor and stuff, and I got the most beautiful wife, and everything. So he wants to show her off as well. Well, she refuses. she doesn't come over there, and so the king gets very mad, very furious. And so He has a little council there of the wise men, and I'm kind of going through this very quickly. You know, read Esther, only a few chapters there, very short. But, you know, all these wise guys, wise men are saying, hey, he's asking, yeah, what shall we do with the queen here? And says, hey, man, you know, this doesn't look good, king. You know, if the queen does this to the king, then what's all the wives in the kingdom going to do to their husbands? You know, they'll think that they don't have to obey their husbands and serve them and so on. And so he says, you know, he's coming up, well, you know, what are we going to do and everything? And so they convince the king to come up with a royal decree and record it as law, and that all the wives will honor their husbands, great and small, you know, throughout all the kingdom. And he's going to punish her, he's going to take the she's no longer going to be the queen, and going to have a new queen. And so they, throughout all the kingdom, they bring in all the young ladies, the virgins, and for about a year here they keep them up, and they go through a beautification process. You know, for a whole year, you know, they're just beauty things that were going on for them, and they're kept here under guard, you know, by the servants of the eunuchs here of the king. And so Mordecai, he is actually not Esther's father. Esther became an orphan. And so this is like her uncle, and he takes her in and raises her. And so she's taken here, and this beautification is done for her. And she finds favor with the head eunuch there, and he gives her some extra. You know, everybody's supposed to get this beautification treatment, but she gets even extra beautification treatments. And you know, there's 6 months of oil of myrrh, and then 6 months of perfumes and preparations for beautifying the women. Over there in verse 12 of chapter 2, I think it talked about. And so, yeah, we see that Esther got a little bit more pampering because she had favor here, and said, Mordecai would come and sit at the king's gate and hear what's going on and stuff. And so Mordecai hears some of the doorkeepers talking and, you know, plotting against the king. And so he lets Esther know that, and Esther will, you know, relay that. And so the, you know, that will be shut down, and those guys will be hanged. And, but this guy, Haman, takes credit for it and gets a lot of the rewards. And, you know, the decree goes out, and everybody's supposed to bow down to Haman. Well, Mordecai won't bow down because he is a Jew, and he's there at the king's gate all the time. He won't pay homage to him. And Haman hates him, and Haman plots, against Mordecai. The king, trusts Haman here, and Haman comes up with the thing. Well, hey man, let's there's these people in the kingdom, you know, these Jews, and you know they're peculiar, and you know they want to follow their own laws, and they won't follow your laws, and you know we need to get rid of them. And came up with a big plan to destroy him on a certain day that people that want to can come in and, you know, just kill him. And, you know, no questions asked. You know, all the men, women, children. So there's going to slaughter all of them. But, and so that went out as a decree. And so, we see here that that Mordecai learns, what happens, and he tears his clothes and puts on sackcloth and ashes, and once again goes to the gate of the palace, the king, and he's in front of the king's gate. But you're not allowed into the gate in sackcloth and ashes. And so he sends word there to Esther. And, Esther, finds out what's happening here. And, she wants to send clothes for him to change, but he won't change. And so she finds out what's going on. Says, and Mordecai told this messenger then what had happened, and that Haman is going to give this big sum of money to the government, to kill all the Jews, destruction of the Jewish people. And he wants Esther to explain this to the king. Well, there's Esther has been made the queen here, but there's a decree, there's a law that, you're not supposed to go before the king unless he calls for you. And if you go, the king can hold out the scepter and allow you to come up. But if he doesn't, you're going to be put to death. And so so Esther here is, he wants her, Esther to go before the king, but she says, hey, I could be killed if I do that. So, he's telling her that, if you don't do it, God's going to going to save his people anyway, but you and your people are going to die. And, by the way, once again there in chapter 4, verse 14, says, you yet know whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. So Esther told him, well, hey, you go back and get all the Jews there in your city and your area to fast for 3 days and nights. And I and my maidens are going to fast for 3 days and nights, and then I'll go do it. And so she goes and presents herself to the king after that, makes her petition known. And so the... she invites Haman and the king to a feast, a banquet, and so they accept. And so Haman is all up in himself again, thinks he's going to, this is something to honor him. And so, they go there to that banquet, and Esther once again presents herself to the king and lets her know what's going on, and that... Haman is responsible for this. And in the meanwhile, Haman had talked with his family, and they said, well, hey, just build this big 50-foot-tall scaffold to hang Mordecai. And so he had a big scaffolding built here to hang Mordecai. But guess what? if you plan something against God's people, More than likely, that's going to be used against you. And so Haman is going to lose his life. He's going to be hung on this scaffolding that that was supposed to take out Mordecai. And there's a decree sent out for all the Jewish people to protect themselves, to come together and fight off their enemies. And and so that's that Purim celebration that the Jews have today. And so once again, God protects his people. So just like God protects the Jewish people, God will protect the Christian people as well. But we have to submit to his will. We need to be part to, one of the great things about Esther here, she is actively engaged in doing God's will. And that's what we're supposed to be as Christians, be actively engaged in doing God's will. So until next time, this is Larry Bryant with Truth Talk.
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate. You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax-deductible. Join us as we change the world.